Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Thank you, Kenneth Allen, and hello to you and all of our listeners.
And we want
to Patrick and Maureen behind the scenes.
There you
without
go.
Without them, the technicians, right? Nothing happens.
Yeah. So we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. We thank God for Patrick and Maureen as well. If you're in your car, please be careful. We just had a pretty big storm come plowing through Villanova, Rosemont area in the last 20 minutes or so. And hopefully we are getting out. There's technical difficulties here with the Wi-Fi, so we're not currently broadcasting over Facebook. If you were planning on listening on Facebook, you may want to keep listening however you are right now. And hopefully, like I said, it's getting out. I think there's also some issues with the WTMR app that we may not be getting through, but we'll see. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Before we pray, just a couple of announcements. You can always get a short article with the highlights of the Wednesday shows, along with links to the recordings at my Substack account, notsaintsyet.substack.com. Also publish additional articles from time to time. You may want to check it out and subscribe. Coming up on Monday, October the 14th, will be our annual golf outing, which is going to take place at Tallamore Country Club in Ambler, Pennsylvania. We were there last year for the first time. Had a great day. And looking forward to it again this year. If you want to register to play golf or sponsor the event, which is one of the keys to helping us raise money, you can get all the information at our website at inhissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, there's a link there where you can download a PDF file that has all the information on how to register to play, the sponsorship opportunities, etc. And we look forward to seeing you on Monday, October the 14th. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in the Church of St. Gabriel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays following daily mass, so around 9 o'clock until about 4:30 on those days, although we did close a little early yesterday because of the heat. But normally open until 4:30. On Thursdays, we have a rosary at 4 o'clock before we close. And if you're going to come down, especially in the summer, maybe the kids are off from school, you want to make a trip down, be sure to get in touch with Father or I first, and we can arrange to try and meet you over in church. Plans are underway for the centenary celebration of Matt Talbot's passing, which will take place in June of 2025. We're putting together a pilgrimage to Ireland that will include a celebration. It'll take place the weekend of June 6th to the 8th over there. We're also trying to raise money for the film on the life of Matt Talbot. Our friend Bill Rose at Joyful Films, who's done a bunch of work for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, is producing the film. And if you have any interest, you can check out the website at matttalbotfilm.com. That's matttalbotfilm.com. Bill's got an introductory video there. Describing the project. Father and I did some taping a few weeks ago that Bill's working on, putting together a couple of short videos about the project, but you may want to check that out. A couple of retreats coming up in the next few weeks. My annual men's weekend, the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Group out at Malvern, will be there August 16th to the 18th. Our retreat director will be Father Bryce Lundgren, who's coming in from Wyoming to direct that retreat. He was a guest of mine about 18 months ago and had a book called The Catholic Cowboy Way. The retreat's open to any man. You can register online at malvernretreat.com or call the retreat house at 610-644-0400. There's also a Matt Talbot women's retreat that will happen September 13th to the 15th. Same website, malvernretreat.com. And finally, a Rachel's Vineyard retreat. We had Nan Freeman on last week in the 5 o'clock hour that talked about the upcoming Rachel's Vineyard retreat at Dalesford Abbey, which will take place the weekend of September 20th to the 22nd. All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father.
Ken, our Calyx meeting this Sunday at Malvern.
That's right. The third Sunday of each month, we'll have a Calyx group that meets at Malvern. And we'll give out the details at the bottom of the hour along with the other. We have the Glenside group this weekend. And we'll give you the whole rundown. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximin Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Camillus Dolellus and St. Catherine Laboure.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of Christ rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or call us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially once your calls towards the bottom of the hour when we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. But we'll need your calls in order to make that happen. We are in the 15th week of Ordinary Time. And, of course, I had the spreadsheet up and then it was gone. Calendar of Saints. Here we go. On Sunday the 14th, we celebrated St. Kateri Tekakwitha, the Virgin. On Monday the 15th, St. Bonaventure, Bishop and Doctor of the Church. Tuesday the 16th, Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Tomorrow the 18th, we have St. Camillus Dolellus, who was a priest. And on Saturday the 20th, St. Apollinaris, Bishop and Martyr. So, we mentioned Camillus Dolellus every week. We ask for prayer through his intercession, and the reason being is, like a lot of the saints, he had a past before he became a saint. He was born the year 1550 and had a kind of rough childhood. His mother died when he was a child. His father neglected him, and he grew up loving to gamble. So, for all our gambling addicts out there, hopefully you're in Gamblers Anonymous, GA, and Camillus Dolellus will be the wonderful patron saint for you. At the age of 17, he had a disease that affected his leg and would never go away. He would have it for the rest of his life. So he was in Rome, and he went to the St. Giacomo Hospital for incurables, and there he was both a patient and a servant, but eventually got kicked out because he was quarrelsome. That only took 9 months. And from there, he would serve in the Venetian army for 3 years. The winter of 1574, he's 24 years old, and he managed to gamble away everything he had, money, weapons. He was, it says, literally down to his shirt. He would then go to work at the Capuchin Friary in Manfredonia, and was actually heard a sermon or a homily that so moved him that he started this conversion in his life. He would enter the Capuchin novitiate, but apparently got tossed out because of that incurable sore in the leg. He did another stint at San Giacomo, went back to the Capuchins and got dismissed again. Same reason, they didn't want the disease he had with his leg. And so he went back to San Giacomo, he became the superintendent, and he would devote the rest of his life to the care of sick. But eventually he would come across St. Philip Neri, and with his encouragement, he would study for the priesthood and eventually ordained at the age of 34. And I think St. Philip Neri gave him advice otherwise, but Camillus left San Giacomo and he would found a congregation of his own. And as its superior, devoted all of his time to the care of the sick. Charity was always his first concern, but he also really cared about the physical aspects of the hospital, like how clean it was, making sure the people that worked there knew what they were doing, didn't just let anybody take care of the sick. The members in his community would serve prisoners and persons infected by the plague, as well as those dying in private homes. He would have the first recorded military field ambulance, and that was during a war with where the men went off to Hungary and Croatia in 1595. Back in Naples, his men would go to the galleys that had the plague, and so the people weren't allowed to come off the ship. And he also found that there were a number of people that were being buried alive. Imagine that. And so he ordered his brothers to keep praying for the dying 15 minutes after they apparently died. And Father knows a little bit about that with his time at Holy Family Home. And Camillus, like we said, he suffered with that disease in the leg all his life. And in his last illness, he would actually get out of bed and try to help other patients before he passed. He would die on July the 14th in the year 1614. And as Father mentioned this morning, that was originally his feast day, July 14th, but he got bumped out by St. Kateri Tekakwitha and moved to the 18th at St. Camillus de Lillis, who we feast day will celebrate tomorrow, but we mention every week here on Saints and Sinners. Father?
Yes. Well, he was 6'6", and it's like all saints come in different sizes and shapes. Think of like Rolly Polly, Thomas Aquinas. They had to cut out the table where he ate because of his stomach was so big. You know, so Anthony, you know, Rolly Polly, tall, small, you know, you see saints like Mother Teresa Calcutta, you know, the tiny little thing, and, you know, all shape and sizes, and all different backgrounds, you know. You take a little flower house just from the very beginning. I mean, she's loving God and wants to be a saint. She dies young, and others, it takes quite a while, that they have to go through all kinds of difficulties, ups and downs, and persevere through it all. But saints are not born, they're made. And they're made by, especially the sacraments, they're made by sacrifices, sacramentals, you know, day by day, you know, giving ourselves and repenting ourselves more and more to the graces that we really need day in and day out, because we can't do anything without grace. And you mentioned that when he died, he had a great devotion to the precious blood. But that gambling, you know, that did him in. You know, over and over again, he said he was a great sinner, and that the worst disorder was his gambling that reduced him to guilt and shame. And you know, you lose the shirt off your back, and he did. He lost everything. And he would be kicked out from place to place. But this is the thing for me about Camillus, that somehow, some way, there was a ray of hope in him all the time. And he always had that faith that kept him going. You know, he would fall down, and he would get up. He would fall down, and he still would get up. He would persevere. He had a hard beginning. You know, the father was rough. The father was a drunkard and a soldier. He was violent. And the father died a holy death. And it was Camillus who actually helped him to bring him to a monastery and to die in a great atmosphere and environment. But it was all this stuff that he was going through that he kept thinking about God and thinking about grace. How long can this go on? And it was when he was a donkey with a cart, and hauling things and dirty clothes, and the kids would laugh at him. And that did him in. That was a moment of truth for him. And when he did that, he cried out to heaven, God hears the cry of the poor. And this was his prayer that turned everything around. Lord Jesus Christ, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the reading for tomorrow, it's apropos, really, for the reading of the day, would be Matthew 11:28, one of my favorites. You know, come to me, all you who are labor and are burdened. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm meek and humble of heart. You know, you'll find rest for yourself, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. And, like, to take that invitation, and we won't get a greater invitation than that. That invitation, you know, people put on their refrigerators and places, they hang them up, wedding invitations, parties, they make sure they're not going to miss it. They should put that up on a refrigerator, you know. Matthew 11:28, come to me. You don't want to miss that invitation. But how do we come to him? You know, Ken, you realize that the rector at Mount Vernon had to come up with a theme. And I came up with the theme with Mark 1:15. And this is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. And then believe in the gospel. Here's the gospel. Come to me. Believe in that invitation. But first we repent. We change. We turn away from sin. He did. Camillus did. He was sick and tired of his sinfulness, of the gambling and everything else that went with it. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. But I look at his life. He just kept getting up. He put, you know, saints fall down and get up. I was thinking of that story, Ken, the monastery, where the monk comes out of the walls of the monastery and he's watering some flowers by the gates of the monastery. And the woman comes by and she looks at the monk and she says to the monk, hey, holy monk, what are you doing there all day? And he said, well, we fall down and we get up. We fall down and we get up. We fall down in sin and we get up in grace. And it is the bounce that counts again and again. He also mentioned charity. He was the saint of charity. He saw Jesus Christ in the suffering. He took the gospel to heart. You know, whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you do unto me. Whatever you do to the sick, you do unto me. He would actually crawl to the sick and see Jesus in them. And then he would ask the sick person to forgive him his sins. He was asking a confession from the sick person because he saw the suffering Jesus in each and every sick person. And you know, that's the truth, that Jesus Christ lives in us. And that's the gospel truth. Whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you do unto me. And our work with recovering and addicts, Ken, you know, really, the addicts that are out there, they're the sickest of the sick. They're the neediest of the needy. You know, the poorest of the poor. And Jesus lives in them. And whatever we do to them, we do to Jesus. You know, just so many wonderful stories throughout my priesthood and even before my priesthood, how Jesus lives in each and every one of us. I go back some time, and I was visiting the shelters, the homeless shelters. I came across this guy, Barney, and I was talking to Barney, and Barney was having a job interview the next day. He could get a job, but he needed steel-toe work shoes, and he wore a size 15. And nobody could find them anywhere. And I went to Phil's Shoes down there on the Oxford Circle. And they had them, size 15. I brought them back the same night. And boy, was this guy so happy, you know. But that night, it was like I had a dream. And I'm in my little garden of the soul. Therese talks about the garden of the soul, where I see the waterfalls and the stone bridge, and I see the wooden bridge, and I see the slope of grass, and I see the little mansion where the Holy Family lives, and all the animals, and the starry night, and the full moon, and the sunrise, and the sunset, God's creation, the Father. But I'm sitting there on the wooden bridge as the water's going under me, and all of a sudden I hear these footprints, and who sits next to me? Jesus, right next to me, sits down, and his feet, and he kicks out his feet over the water, and he's wearing size 15 work shoes. So whatever we give, whatever we do for the least, we really do for Jesus. So many stories like that, Ken. I'm sure you have your own story, so I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, and looking at Camillus de Lillis and, you know, what he did, the thing that really comes through is his persistence. And, you know, it really is a virtue, fortitude to keep trying, to keep fighting despite the obstacles that get thrown up to you in whatever you're pursuing, especially when it comes to the pursuit of the faith for those of our brothers and sisters that struggle with their addiction, you know, the persistence or the fortitude in their recovery, both hopefully in a 12-step program and in their faith, because the evil one will just keep throwing things at you, keep trying to put up you know, roadblocks in front of you. A lot of times we put up our own roadblocks and think that we're not worthy or not capable, or, you know, whatever excuses we come up for not trying to pursue recovery and or our faith. But those that persist are the ones that, you know, we get to witness the miracles, and they grow closer to God. They grow in their faith. They, you know, become daily communicants or regular attendees at Mass, and make use of the sacraments and other things that the church has to offer. But it's not easy, and Camillus de Lillis shows us that, you know, three times, I think, at least three times, he gets kicked out of the Capuchins. He gets tossed out of the hospital, and it would have been real easy for him to give up, but he persisted. You know, God kept knocking, and he kept answering. It didn't make it easy for him, but in the end, he was able to, you know, become that priest. And interestingly enough, you know, it was St. Philip Neri, I guess, who guided him to the priesthood. But Camillus decided to go off on his own. And I don't think Philip Neri, it wasn't his recommendation. He wanted him to stay where he was at. And Camillus decided to keep going and pursuing whatever it was that, you know, God was putting on his heart, on his soul. I think it's a lesson for all of us that when you feel those promptings, you know, and certainly there can be promptings that the evil one will put out there to try and get you to go off the beam and head in the wrong direction, or, you know, flood you with so many good things that you miss the one or two real good things that you're supposed to be pursuing for God. But when those promptings come, to, you know, really listen to them, discern what it is that God wants you to do. Even if all the people around you are telling you that it's not a very good idea, or what have you, that if it's truly of God, eventually those barriers come down, and God will make the way for you to do whatever it is that he needs you to do or wants you to do. And, you know, if you're in that discernment process, if you're perhaps there's something that you think you're being called to do and you're not certain, you know, maybe Camillus de Lillis is somebody whose intercession you can ask for to help you, you know, figure it out. If you're supposed to, you know, go off in a direction and everybody else thinks you're nuts, and why would you ever do something like that? You know, Camillus de Lillis did it, and as a result, he's been canonized by our Catholic Church as a saint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the word you used, they don't give up. And I thought of the word, too, perseverance.
Yeah.
You know, it's to sever through and keep going. I think of all the addicts, and, you know, even our buddies who are listening, how many times that they got it and they fell back, they got it and they fell back, they got it and fell back on ventilator after ventilator, and then finally they get it by the grace of God. You know, that you never despair, you never give up, that the Lord's there, his hand's always there picking up again and again as we fall, that he's still picking us up again and again. And we learn so much as we do fall. And we get to a point where we realize, hey, the Lord was always there, and that grace was always there, and I'm holding on to his hand, and I'm not letting go this time. But he had a great devotion to the precious blood of Jesus. And I was just thinking about the Mass. You know, you wanted to be a priest and, you know, celebrating the Mass. And I always think about the fracture, you know, you know, Mass this morning, Pat Kennedy would always start the Lamb of God, and then I break the host at that fracture. I just see the precious blood of Christ just coming right from his pierced heart right down on us all, and just taking away all of our sins, our guilt, and our shames, giving us new beginnings and second chances, and just touching our hearts and letting us know that he's there. and that precious blood of the Mass, the holy sacrifice of the Mass that goes on in all of our hearts. We're baptized into that Paschal mystery, into the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, but that precious blood. And that's how he died, Ken. You know, he died devoted to the precious blood. At his death, he thanked God for the merits of the precious blood of Jesus. And then he stretched out his arms in the form of a cross, and then he died. And I was thinking of that story, too. You know, one of the powerful stories, I said this not too long ago, because July is the month for the precious blood of Jesus. And the story was about the sister and the little brother, and they had that rare blood type. And the mother and father asked the older sister, because the brother, the little brother, needed blood. And they asked the little sister, the bigger sister, if she would give the blood to her brother. And she thought for a minute, hesitated for a second. But then she said, yeah, I'll give my blood to my brother. And so they have a direct transfusion, and the mother and father's there, and of course the hose where you're watching the blood go out of the little girl into the little boy, and he's getting his color back, and new life is starting back. And the girl looks up to the mom and dad, and she says, Mommy, when am I going to die? And the mother and father said, Honey, you're not giving all your blood. You're just giving some of your blood. And I think about that fracture. Jesus didn't give a drop of his blood. He poured it out. Poured it out for all of us, you know, for all the sinners, that we can be doused in that blood, renewed, confession, you know. We're doused in that precious blood of his again. It's like a second baptism. Our garments are washed clean. We're renewed again and again and again because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But, yeah, Camillus, he had that. That was his favorite devotion, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and his prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus was merciful to him, a sinner, and he's merciful to us sinners as well. And he pours out not only his blood, but his grace, that transforming union with him, that new life, that peace and joy, that abundant life, that shalom, shalom, you know, complete calm and peace. Oh, what he wants to give us if we do what Camillus did, repent, believe in the gospel, come to Jesus. You know, I have to say this till I end with this, Ken. This morning when we were at our prayer group and we're sharing, and Pat Ireland, you know, was sharing, and I'm looking at Pat, and right behind him is the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And his right hand is like in invitation, and his left hand is on his heart. And all I can hear him say, tell Pat and the rest of the gang there, come to me. All they have to do is come to me, and I will take care of everything. And everything means everything. Abandon everything to my good pleasure, and I will take care of everything. So there it is. The saints, they repent, and we need to repent, because nothing changes if nothing changes. Turn away from sin. Be faithful to the gospel. Come to Jesus. Receive the graces to be holy and perfect, like he is holy and perfect, because that's what grace does. It transforms us in that very image and likeness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen is right. And we're going to take a break here in a minute. I want to give out the phone numbers again. We want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back from the break, but we need your phone calls to do it. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or give us a shout toll-free, 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. We're going to go ahead and take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990 and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people friend for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. And before we can't go to the phones because there's nobody that's called in yet. Again, those phone numbers, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll-free 888-343-2484. I'll give you a quick rundown of the great Calyx units here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, beginning with the Grace Furry unit, where Father McKay and I and Patrick and a whole bunch of others get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. We meet at the Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street, across the street from St. Gabriel's Church. We get started at 6 o'clock p.m. with adoration, followed by Mass, and then a Calyx meeting. On the third Tuesday of the month, we normally go over to the St. Gabriel's Church. Last night, because of the heat, we stayed over in the Matt Talbot Chapel. We may end up doing the same thing again on August the 20th. That'll be the third Tuesday. The format's a little different. We have a holy hour and Mass and really celebrate and pray for those that are in recovery or in need of recovery. We have a unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown that meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on July the 18th, tomorrow night. The Glenside unit at my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist meets on the third Saturday of the month. That's this coming Saturday. We join the parish for 8:30 Mass in the morning, followed by our Calyx meeting. Again, that'll be this Saturday, July the 20th. The unit at the Malvern Retreat House, we mentioned when the show started, on the third Sunday of the month. They have 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joe's Hall, followed by refreshments and then a Calyx meeting. That'll be this coming Sunday, July the 21st. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, and they have a Calyx meeting after. They will meet on Saturday, July the 27th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, there's a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday. They get started with 6:15 p.m. Mass, followed by a meeting. I'm supposed to be joined in the 5 o'clock hour by Paul Zuccarelli, and we're going to discuss a book that he wrote with Jesse Romero entitled One Lord, One Faith, One Church, An Inconvenient Truth. So you want to stick around in the 5 o'clock hour for that. And we do have a couple callers on the line. We're going to go to Mike first on line two. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken. Hello, Father. How are you?
Hey, brother. How are
Michael?
You?
Good, good, good. Thanks. You know, I was listening in. I figured, let me steal somebody's out of God. And I'm sure if he was listening, he would have called in. and that's President Trump. Was that odd or is that God? And, you know, 1 millimeter away or 1 inch away from getting killed. And, you know, you heard politicians saying it too, like only through the grace of God, and how true that is. And like we always say, more will be revealed. And I believe he's going to be the next president. And so that was my honor, God. And well, it was his, but I stole it. But I was also thinking about the saint that we were talking about, Father. And I think you said about the kids teasing him, and he was dirty and stuff like that. And I remember a time in my addiction, guy said to me, like he said now, but a guy said to me, somebody said, oh, look at the tan on him, you know. And he said, that's a bum's tan. And my feelings were so hurt, you know. And it really hurt me inside. And I thought, like, you know, you grow up and you think, like, you know, you're all that. And then you get into addiction and it kills you. Like, it just beats you up. And then somebody does something like that and hurts your feelings. And, you know, that was part of my bottom. I had a hip bottom. And this guy, and I believe that was part of his bottom. And he reached out. And, you know, like we get sober. And we realized that it's through the grace of God that we got sober. But we had to get sober to realize this. And how he reveals himself after you get sober and believe. And it's just, the transformation is like unbelievable when you compare yourself to yourself and the road that you're on and how he reveals himself and puts people in your life for different reasons. And you say different things to other people, like, and I hear somebody say, like, we're all angels, you know, and I believe that today. Like, people are putting, angels are putting my life, and I'm an angel who I say something to somebody else. And it's only through the grace of God. Like, he's in me. He speaks through me now, you know, and it's all so true. It's all so true. And what a great program you're having today, Father. You're on fire. It's just nice to hear, like, you're, like, this is better than your homilies, like, you know what I mean?
What are you trying to say, Mike?
You know, this is like personal, you know, yeah. and it's so good. It's so good to hear it. Like, I'm sitting in here and, like, I'm laughing and getting emotional. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah. All right, brother. We appreciate you picking up the phone, pal.
Today, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'll let you go, and I'll listen in.
All right. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we got another caller on the line. We're going to go to Frank. Hello, Frank.
Again?
Alexa, turn off the music.
Yes, Ken. Hello, Ken and Father Doug.
How you doing, brother?
Father Doug, Frank. I have a correction to make. You ready? Is he there?
Yeah, he's there.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Father Doug, a couple of weeks ago, I made you the mayor of Southwest Philly. Do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
Well, I don't even know Mayfair. I don't know where South Philly and Southwest Philly ends. Captain Lou told me today, no, Frank, he's in South Philly. So therefore, I'm taking away your mayor of Southwest and making you mayor of South Philly. Okay? Sorry.
Yeah, Patrick.
I don't know where he is.
Patrick's the mayor of Southwest.
So Frank Rizzo, step aside. Mayor, Father Doug, the mayor of South Philly is the man now, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first honor I had, the mayor of South Philly, and I appreciate it, Frank.
And don't forget to call people crumb bums, okay? And also, Father Doug, I just assume, like, you hear Ken say from time to time, AA, are you an AA yourself too, or no?
I've been to a lot of AA meetings, and I actually was an AA member for some time, but I kind of went another way, you know, more involved with Calyx, you know, because really a lot of different times.
I mean, are you an alcoholic, I mean?
Oh, yeah, I'm in recovery 9 years.
I thought so, but I wasn't sure. I was thinking, Ken always mentioned it. Well, not always, I mean, from time. I talked to him before, and yeah. And I thought you were, but I never verified it, so I wanted to make sure.
Yeah. Well, here's the story. May 17th, I took the, you'd see, I wear the Sacred Heart pin. I'm a pioneer. So on May the 15th, I was ordained a priest. On May the 16th, that was my first Mass, and I think I had my last drink probably you know, somewhere on the 16th. But my first sober day would be the 17th. On May the 18th is my first Holy Communion day. So I needed something for the 17th, and the Lord gave me another day. And it's a Eucharistic day for me, because it was through the Eucharist that I was able to really be sober and sanctified. So I have four straight days of celebrating the Eucharist.
That's awesome. I remember that.
Yeah, ordained, first Mass, my sobriety date, and my first Holy Communion. So,
Father,
9 years.
When you mentioned the date you were ordained, I'm in St. Timothy's my whole life. We had a great priest 2 years ago. He was ordained, Father Andrew Lane, but he got promoted to pastor at St. Martin of Tours. So anyone in St. Martin, you got a great new pastor. Saint, we miss him. Yeah. He was great.
Yeah, I used to have Mass out there a lot at St. Martin's when I had the the assistant director for the Deaf Apostolate, so I would go there for the sign language Masses. But,
they had sign
language Masses? Downstairs church, though. Yeah. In fact, I just told that story. Phil Shoes was right around the corner, Frank, on St. Martin's.
Oh, Phil Shoes. Every year before school, in August, we always went to Phil's for shoes all the time. So for Easter and stuff. So yeah, Phil's was the main shoe store.
Yeah. So any word on Jamie, the officer, Frank?
Who?
Jamie Roman. Officer Roman?
Jamie Roman.
That name's familiar.
He was the one that was shot over in...
police officer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 25th and 35th Block F Street. Yeah, right, yeah.
How's he doing? Do you know?
As far as I know, no changes.
We, I was the retreat director for the weekend in Mount Vernon, and I always pray for our officers, firefighters, our troops, emergency medical personnel, you know, to keep safe from evil. And so I brought Jamie's name in there, so he got a lot of prayers over the weekend, as he does on our radio program.
Yeah,
so,
I can't believe I forgot his name.
He's on my
heart. I do pray for
him
every day, though.
Yeah, well, you're the one who told me about him.
Yep.
Well, when you said that, I was thinking it was an AA thing. I'm thinking, sounds familiar. Okay, you're the cop. One of my brothers in blue, Okay.
Yep. All right,
thanks,
pal.
Thanks. How's it going?
You too, Frank. Thanks for the call.
Bless you. So what do you think, Frank? Frank Rizzo. I'm replacing him as mayor of South Philly.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
Yeah. Douglas Rizzo. So, just a quick odd or God for me last night. You know, we have the meeting of the Triple C after our Calyx meeting, the Calyx Cigar Club, and that storm started to blow in last night. So I left my portable humidor, just a Rubbermaid container, and my missile. I left them on the table when I went down to the chapel to get stuff that I had left down there. And when I, before I went down to the chapel, I went in, I turned off the lights on the deck. So when I came back, I didn't see the Rubbermaid container and my missile sitting on the table. Jumped in my truck and headed for home. And I got about halfway home and Father sends me a text message that he had, Father McKay, that is, that he needed creamer for his coffee in the morning. So he, went down to the chapel to grab some creamer. And when he was coming back, I guess, or on your way down, one way or the other, he happened to see my missile and cigars and rescued them from that torrential rain that we had last night. So I just thought, you know, out of God, it could have been the night before or the next night, but for whatever reason, you ran out of creamer just in time to save my missile.
How about that? The Lord sent me down for creamer. So, you know, why can't I? I didn't even get the creamer. They were overdue. And I got your books.
There you go. Honor God.
Yeah.
So.
You know, my honor God, it's like everything is just, it's not like, okay, here God's going to play peekaboo and put his head in and say, there, you know, I'm showing myself. He's always present to us, always showing himself. It's everything is divinely orchestrated. And you know, I picked that up because I had the Jubilee Mass for Sister Elizabeth Teresa, and 70 years from her first vows. And, you know, when she called me, I said, I'll see if I can get over there and celebrate. And just recently I was called about being the homilist. And, of course, you know, like, you know, you're talking about homilies and all. people wake up, oh, another day, another dollar, and always say, another day, another homily, or two, or three, and when I die, I'll jump in God the Father's lap and say, no more homilies. Mm-hmm. But yet, when I got there, it was like you saw God's hand in it, that I was supposed to be there. Because I was there 21 years. They put up a new building. I'm in the new chapel. And I'm there with my two favorite priests, Father Vince Guess and Father Peter Welsh. Father Vince Guess is the cousin. He was the main celebrant. And Father Peter Welsh is the confessor for the Little Sisters of the Poor. And I'm looking, and, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to have Mass with the Holy Family home residents. And it was just in the convent with the sisters. Now, I'm looking out at the sisters, and there was Grace Murphy, which is Sister Kathleen, was there. Her mother died there. And then I looked at another sister, Therese, and I had the funeral mass, the graduation ceremony for the mother. And then I looked at the other sister Therese, Connie Manzo, and you've heard me tell that story a lot, where she died with the holy name Jesus on her lips. And then Sister Elizabeth Teresa, her mother. I had all these graduation ceremonies, all these summa cum laude residents. And I'm looking at all the sisters and all the work, and Jean Jugan's very much on my heart. And I'm kind of like, Ken, reaffirmed, you know, with Jean Jugan. When I left the Little Sisters of the Poor to be in the mission work here 27 years ago, we opened our first house. But I guess it's, I forget how many years now that I've been here full time. But, you know, when I look at that, it was like Jean Jugan, it was her inspiration. You know, I didn't have a dollar, not $1, you know, when we had to buy the first house, you know. And Jean Jugan didn't have any money. And she opened her first convent in front of the church. And we opened our first house in front of the church. And I always took that to heart. I don't know if she said this, but I always said, we have a trust fund in the Bank of Divine Providence. And all that's coming to me, you know, just trust the Lord. You know, he's going to work everything out because he's always there. And I have so many fond memories, you know, ran into Paul Bouzas, you know, talking to him, and just so many people that I met there. And it was like, just brought back so many memories and blessings in my life. But like, it was like divinely orchestrated. He led me back there at a beautiful day, and just reinforced with our mission work here that it's God's mission. He'll take care of it, and he'll provide for it. So that was kind of like my other God, that, you know, on schedule as planned, divinely orchestrated, and more will be revealed. And let's go on for God, whatever he wants. His will be done and not ours.
Amen. All right. Well, the phone lines are clear, and we've got about 12 minutes left here. So should we talk about St. Catherine Laboure?
Yeah.
So really not on the liturgical calendar, but Father reminded me this morning that it was overnight, July 17th to the 18th, I think around 11:30 at night, where St. Catherine Laboure would have her first apparition with the Blessed Mother. And like I said, it was around 11:30 at night, and this mysterious child would show up at the foot of her bed and said that the Blessed Virgin is waiting for you. And Catherine got dressed and then followed the child down to the chapel, where she would encounter the Blessed Mother. And you know, Father's got a lot more of the details on it than I do, but I do know just from the time that I've spent at the Miraculous Metal Shrine here in the Germantown neighborhood of Philadelphia, that it's one of the only apparitions, I think, where somebody touched the Blessed Mother. Catherine Laboure will place her hands in the lap of Mary, and the chair that Mary sat in, it's not the actual chair, but there's a piece of the cloth from that chair in a replica there at the Miraculous Metal Shrine. If you go down, and the big side altar with the huge statue of our Blessed Mother in that area, they have the chair there with the explanation of it. So when I was reading about the apparition, and it just reminded me that was there. Father?
Yeah, and that altar rail, Ken. I remember Father Welsh went years ago. He said, you want to see faith? You want to see faith? I said, no one can see faith. He said, well, come with me. And he took me to the altar rail in front of the, the beautiful statue there, where all the people go and they pray before their, the miraculous metal image of Mary. And you put your hands over the marble rail, and over the marble rail, you can feel the marble is worn down, actually worn down from all the years of people coming in desperation, you know, crying out, and the Lord hears the cry of the poor. But, yeah, you know, the miraculous metal, it's always been the first devotion that I've ever had, always on my mother and father's neck and was on my neck. And a lot of times, you know, there's so many devotions to our Blessed Mother. We celebrated yesterday Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and we have Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Medjugorje, Our Lady of Guadalupe. All these, there's only one Blessed Mother, one. And sometimes we're so divided and all. And here, the miraculous medal, to me, it's the greatest apparition for me. Because when you think when our Blessed Mother appeared, you know, she was always above the world, in a niche, in a tree. Here, she's sitting on a chair, and Catherine Laberge's hands are on her lap. She's touching the Blessed Mother. We don't have that in any apparitions. And it's what Mary said. First of all, when she comes from the balcony there in 140 Rue de Bach, and when she comes down from there, she comes out of a painting of St. Joseph. And she prostrates herself in front of the tabernacle and the altar, which were one at that time. And she gets up. The Mother of God, the Queen of Heaven and Earth, puts her face down on the marble floor there, sanctuary, to show us who's in that tabernacle, in our tabernacle, and all the tabernacles of the world. And she sits down. And for like 2 hours, she's talking about, you know, the evil that's coming in the world, the French Revolution, and here's the good news. Tell the people to take it to the foot of the altar, because all the remedies are there. It's all about the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And the Lord has a mission for you, Catherine. And she finds out what that mission is 4 months later. And by the way, you know, it was the 18th and the 19th, it would be the feast day of St. Vincent de Paul. And she had this experience that the Blessed Mother was going to come to her. It was like in her heart she was burning to see the Blessed Mother. So here on November the 27th, 1830, she appears 140 Rue de Bach. Again, you know, adoration or evening prayer. And we have the apparition of the globe, where Mary holds up the globe. And she said, this is a symbol of the whole world in France, and in particular for every person. And then it goes into what we know of the medal. You know, the medal of the Immaculate Conception, O Mary conceived without sin, you know. And then it evolves around the back, and there it is. There it is. Everything's there. You've got the 12 stars, which is the mystical body of Christ. You have that bar that's going through, which is a symbol of the altar. You have the two hearts, one crowned with thorns, one pierced with the sword. And you have the M, and even Joseph is hitting in there. I remember it was Kevin. Remember Kevin Gallagher? It was, you know, because I've been giving out these medals ever since. I can't remember, but he said you got one of those Sacred Heart medals again at one of our Catholic meetings. Someone said that's not a Sacred Heart medal. That's a miraculous medal. And I said, wait a minute, that's a Sacred Heart medal too, because his heart is on the medal, and her heart is on the medal. It's all there. Father Adedel, getting ready to strike it and distribute the medal, says to Catherine Laberge, ask the Blessed Mother if she wants me to add something, because it looks too plain. She goes to the Blessed Mother, Father wants to know if you want to add something. And this is what Mary says. It's enough. It's enough. It's more than enough. All the sins, it's a drop in the ocean of God's mercy. One cross plus three nails equals four given. And, you know, it's all there. I call it my Eucharistic medal, Ken. You know, I really do. You know, it's catechetical. It tells the whole story. It's enough. It's enough. But the medal, the silver bullet, you know, Maximilian Kolbe, look at the saints and Mother Teresa of Calcutta, handed thousands and thousands of medals out, the miraculous medal. And you know the story, Ken. I think you've been to one of the places over there, right, with the Jewish person who converted? The medal?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Alphonse Ratisbon?
Yes.
Yeah. He was a cultural Jewish person that really became an atheist and on a dare He wore the Miraculous Medal, and he had a friend that was a priest, and they would have conversations, but Alphonse really had no desire to become Catholic until one day they happened to go to St. Andrea della Frati, a church in Rome, and when they go in, Alphonse Ratisbonne has an apparition of the Blessed Mother, in which the entirety of the Catholic faith was infused, and he would become a Catholic priest not long afterwards. And Maximilian Kolbe was aware or learned of that story, especially regarding the Miraculous Medal. And so it was in that same church that Maximilian Kolbe would offer his first Mass after he was ordained a Franciscan priest. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yeah, powerful. You know, and that medal was always around my neck. And I had like 15 near-death experiences in my life, and I had 3 body-soul experiences. And the medal was always around my neck, and I always believed I'm under her mantle, you know, from the very beginning. And I remember that first morning I woke up as a priest, and I opened up that first gift, and it was glittering in the sun, and it was a Miraculous Medal from an Immaculate Heart of Mary sister, Sister Thomasine. And I said, wow, this is beautiful. I got to get a special priest to bless this one. And then I thought about Father Goodyear, Father McKee, Father Farley. And I said, hey, wait a minute, I am a priest. And I got the medal right here in my little a prized possession in my little container. Mm. And it is, you know, that medal. And I wear it backwards, Ken. Sometimes I wear it frontwards, but I wear it backwards like I'm under her mantle. But I like when people come up and say, hey, you got your medal on backwards. So then I can tell the story about the Miraculous Medal and that it's all about the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It's all there, the bar, everything. Take it to the foot of the altar. All the remedies are there. Come to me. We know where he's at. He's there at the altar, in the priest, in the tabernacle, in the sacraments. Come to me. What are we waiting for? Let's come with joy, receive the graces of transformation, and, you know, be humble and meek, like Amen. He is humble and meek.
Amen.
Be transformed
yeah.
to divinity, to God himself.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's distributed more Miraculous Medals than you have. There may be people out there, but I know how much you've done that. And it was interesting that... As a result, I keep a couple of them in my car all the time, and in my exit ramp ministry, where I run into panhandlers and you know, try to have conversations as quick as I can, because you know, before the light changes or traffic has to move. And I'll never forget the one day Kelly was at the 34th Street exit of the Schuylkill. And when I pulled up, I gave her a couple bucks and a Miraculous Medal, and she looked at it, and she started crying. And I was like, what's the matter? And she goes, you know, I had one of these when I was a little girl, and, you know, I haven't seen one in a long time. And it's funny because every once in a while my buddy Anthony wears his. For those that are listening, if you ever have to go down to Penn or that neighborhood, if you come off the exit and you see one of the panhandlers out there, look for the blue string around their neck. Pretty frequently they'll be wearing their Miraculous Medal. It just goes to show. I mean, they're good people, man. They're just on a bad path, and but they do. They, for whatever reason, they love our Blessed Mother and that Miraculous Medal. And, you know, they're not afraid to wear it. So you got just a minute left, Father.
Yeah, real quick, an honor God. When I gave the retreat this weekend, I went to Wawa in the morning, get a few things, and people were, you got a medal? And I gave them to them. And I had my pocket out. And then at the end of the retreat, somebody came up and said, do you have a Miraculous Medal? I went in my pocket. I said, you know, I just gave them out. And something told me, go in your pocket again. And I went in, there was 2 Miraculous Medals. So I said, this one is for you and for the one you want to give it to. So there it is, honor God, the Miraculous Medal. The medal of the Immaculate Conception. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Oh God, thank you for all the blessings, and thank you for your mother and our mother, who brings us through the heart of your Son, the chaste heart of Joseph, right to the bosom of your Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So bless us all of our listeners, especially those who are suffering. Jamie, our police officer, his family members, all those who need the blessing the most, dear Lord, and touch our hearts with that deep love for Mother Mary, who loves us so much in your heart. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Ken. God bless everyone.
All right, Father, thank you. For our listeners, don't go away. Our guest for the 5 o'clock hour, Paul Zuccarelli, is already on the line. We'll be joining him as soon as we come back. Don't go away.